Hey guys, this is Jay Lethal, the greatest first generation wrestler, and you're listening to Interactive Radio.
You're listening to Interactive Wrestling Radio, featuring the Interactive Interview, courtesy of WrestlingEpicenter.com.
So what you gonna do?
Let me talk to you, dummies.
Oh, yeah.
You're where it's at.
If you're smart like me,
you gotta listen.
And if you don't listen to it,
I'll come out of your computer and body slam your ass.
Don't be a Melvin.
I will scar you.
Open your third eye.
Woo! It's gonna be cool.
Oh, what a rush.
It's showtime!
We had a lovely conversation.
To the Interactive Interview. Interactive Wrestling Radio.
The Epicenter.
Has everyone identified themselves who is on here and wants to ask questions? I guess that's a yes.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Well, hi everyone, and thanks for taking part in the ROH Death Before Dishonor media call. Death Before Dishonor takes place this Friday, September 28th at 9 p.m. Eastern. From the Orleans Arena in Las Vegas, the event will air live on pay-per-view for Honor Club members through the ROH app and on all Apple and Android devices, or ROHHonorClub.com and on Fight TV. The event will feature four championship matches, including ROH World Tag Team Champions Briscoes defending against SCU. Sumi Sakai defends her Women of Honor World Title against Tennille Dashwood. And the ROH World Television Championship is on the line as Punisher Martinez defends against Chris Sabin. Japanese wrestling legend Jushin Thunder Liger returns to ROH to take on Las Vegas native and star of ABC's Back in Paradise, Kenny King. The tables match was just signed, pitting Bully Ray and Silas Young against Cliff Gordon and Colt Cabana. And Death Before Dishonor will be headlined by a double main event. Bullet Club, the American Nightmare Cody, the villain Marty Scurll, Hangman Adam Page, and the Young Bucks take on New Japan Pro Wrestling's Chaos, featuring Kazuchika Okada, Kamihiro Ishii, Rocky Romero, and Best Friends, and the ROH World Championship will be defended as the franchise of ROH Jay Lethal defends against the returning aerial assassin Will Ospreay. Today, we have scheduled 20 minutes for our guests, Ring of Honor World Champion Jay Lethal and Women of Honor's newest signee, Madison Rayne. Once I state your name and publication, I kindly ask you to keep it to one question per guest in order to keep things running smoothly. With that said, I'd like to introduce our first guest. He recently surpassed a combined 500 days as Ring of Honor World Champion, and heads to Las Vegas this Friday to defend his title against perhaps the greatest high flyer of his generation, Will Ospreay. Please welcome ROH World Champion Jay Lethal to the call. Welcome, Jay.
Mark Kruskal, with an intro like that, I feel like this may go downhill from there. But I hope everybody's doing great, and let's get to the questions. I'm ready.
All right, let's start with a little overseas. Alex Jimenez from Solo Wrestling in Barcelona. Alex, go ahead with your question.
Hello, Jay, can you hear me?
I can hear you. How are you?
Fine, thank you. You are now on a roll. You're having killer matches, first with Mark Haskins in London, then with Jonathan Gresham in Atlanta. Can we expect a big match from you and Will this Friday in Vegas? Is your main goal to use this honor in Ring of Honor and bring again this all Ring of Honor main events and long matches that we've seen with Danielson, McGuinness, and all of that?
Well, my main goal, I think I share the same goal with a lot of the other wrestlers on the roster. Our main goal is to make Ring of Honor as big as we possibly can. Every time myself and my fellow wrestlers go into the ring, that's our main goal. That's the what's in the forefront of our heads. And you asked, you complimented me on having such great matches, and I'd like to thank you for that. But I'm not the only one in those matches. My opponent, as well as myself, have trained and wrestled all over the world, perfecting our craft for years. It's one of the things that makes Ring of Honor stand out. Ring of Honor's always had an amazing roster. So our booker of Ring of Honor does a great job, but with such a great talent pool to pick from, sometimes you could just close your eyes and pick two names and you know they're going to have a great match because, like I said, we have one of the greatest rosters in the world. I hope that answers your question.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. All right, let's go with Alan Wu from the Sports Courier. Go ahead, Alan.
Hi, wonderful to speak with both of you guys. Jay, how was your visit with the Tampa Bay Rays? I'm peeking at your Instagram right now. How did that event go?
That was amazing. To me, I always see celebrities going out with first pitch. And I always thought, wow, you got to be a real star. You've got to have done something in this world in order to get to do something like that. So when I got to do it, it was surreal. But the scary part about it was there's so many clips on YouTube of people throwing a horrible first pitch. And I did not want to get added to that list. So I think throwing that first pitch, I was more nervous than any match that I've ever had before in my life. Because like I said, it's something that you really have got to have done something in this world to get to do something as honorable as throwing out the first pitch. I didn't want to throw a horrible pitch. And I remember the pitcher, the catcher gave me some advice. He said, whatever you do, don't let the ball bounce. Throw it high if you have to, just don't let the ball bounce. And I think I did a pretty good job. I'm not trying to switch careers or anything, but I think I did a pretty good job.
Terrific. Good luck then. Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Alan. Bill Pritchard from WrestleZone. Go for it.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good. I was just wondering. What your goal is as Ring of Honor champion right now and maybe how they differ from your previous reign?
I got one goal in mind as the Ring of Honor world champion. Oh, two goals. I said one, which everyone kind of shares, you know, to make Ring of Honor better than it was yesterday, to make it as big as we possibly can. But for me, a personal goal is, and it's terrifying and scary to do going after this one, but I'm trying to make this title run better than the first title run. And just right there on the surface, there are two completely different runs. Last time I was the bad guy, I was the heel, I was in a group. This time I'm by myself, I'm the good guy. So right away you got two different scenarios, and I'm gonna try my best to make the best of it and make this run better than before. One thing that I got to my advantage is having a great roster to have matches with. I just had a 30-minute Ironman match with Jonathan Gresham. I'm about to have live on pay-per-view a Ring of Honor World Championship match against the greatest high flyer in wrestling today. We've got on our roster guys like the Young Bucks, guys like Chris Sabin. Also on the pay-per-view, a legend, Jushin Thunder Liger, who I'll get to step into the ring with the night after the pay-per-view. So we got the makings to help make this run better or equal to the one before. So that's my biggest goal. And I hope I'm doing it so far. Fingers crossed.
All right. Awesome. Thank you. Jason Paul from ProWrestling.net. Go ahead, Jason.
Yeah, Jay, you've really come off as just being more confident in your promos and just in general on ROH TV since regaining the championship. Is that something you're just trying to portray, or do you genuinely feel more confident this time around?
That's a great question. Most of the time when wrestlers, like you said, cut promos, you know, there's bits and pieces of their influences in those promos. It is no secret that two of my biggest influences in wrestling in general are the Macho Man Randy Savage and Ric Flair. And I think that there's a lot of Ric Flair in all of my promos, past promos and present promos. And to try and make things different than before. One way to tackle that is to seem a little bit more confident, because it's my second time to the dance, so to speak. And I know what it takes to be the world champion, which is why I've got it for the second time. When you strip away wrestling, I wouldn't say that I'm confident, because I'm still terrified every time I go out there. The butterflies are there because I want to perform at a level that the fans at Ring of Honor expect. I want everyone to leave happy. I would never even consider myself to be above anybody in our locker room. The word vet has been tossed around. I would never even consider myself to be that. But when the camera's on and the lights are rolling, I have this boosted level of confidence. So I'd definitely say it's more so a persona thing than a real life thing, especially since at the drop of a hat, Will Ospreay could be a way better champion than Jay Lethal, in my opinion.
All right. Thanks, Jason. Carlos from Fightful.com. Go ahead, Carlos.
Thank you for having me, and thanks, Jay, for taking time from your schedule to talk to us. It's been a couple of years since you last wrestled for the ROH title at Death Before Dishonor in 2016. And since then, the company has grown immeasurably. I mean, you guys are having the big show at MSG next year. From that time in 2016 to now, what's been the biggest difference, or how has the company has grown in these short 2 years to where it is now?
The biggest difference, although I love to pat Ring of Honor on the back because I love the company, the biggest difference, we can't take too much credit for, though we aid in it. Wrestling as a whole is on the rise. There is definitely a boom period in all of professional wrestling, and that's definitely helping Ring of Honor. It's helping every wrestling company out there. It's been the biggest difference thus far. But another side of the coin is Ring of Honor's always had the greatest roster out there currently. Even though we lose some puzzle pieces here and there, we always pick ourselves up, go in search of finding new talent. Someone mentioned Mark Haskins, a phenomenal guy, a phenomenal talent. But yeah, the biggest piece of the puzzle is Ring of Honor's ability to always have the greatest roster out there. That on top of the fact that wrestling as a whole is in a boom period. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I would agree that there is a boom period in wrestling right now.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Thank you very much. Chris Featherstone, Pancakes and Power Slams et al. Go ahead, Chris.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Mark. Jay, great to have you on the call today. Appreciate it. You are, if I get my numbers right, you are 135 days from being the longest reigning Ring of Honor champion of all time. Does that sound about right?
Chris, you're really putting the pressure on me now.
No pressure.
Oh, no.
All right, man. Well, congratulations in advance if that happens. My question
Thank
to you.
You,
you mentioned two of people who you idolized growing up, Randy Savage, Ric Flair. The thing about them is that they were very character and really what's really defined 80s and a lot of, you know, early 90s wrestling. And an area where gray matter and gray area is really kind of reared its head as far as just faces or heels. You mentioned you were a bad guy before and a good guy now. How important is that still in the world of professional wrestling, distinguishing characters and having a good guy and a bad guy?
Well, since wrestling has been evolving for years, I think it's definitely at a state where now more than ever, those lines are extremely blurred. And each individual wrestler, every time they step into the ring, what they're really showing the crowd, other than a good time, is their view of professional wrestling, what they think wrestling should be. And it's really cool because some fans really like that, and then some fans shy away. So then that pulls certain fans in your direction because they agree with the way you think wrestling should be, or they agree with your views, and your views together make an awesome match and they love it. Or you got some fans who don't and they shy away and they like other people. That's the coolest part about wrestling to me. But in my opinion, like you said, Macho Man and Ric Flair, what really drove me to them was the characters. But it wasn't until I saw past that I fell in love with the in-ring ability of both guys, more so Ric Flair than Macho Man Randy Savage. I definitely think, and that's because of the era that I grew up watching, I definitely believe that in wrestling, you just overall have a better time when in the ring there is someone to cheer and someone to boo. Not to give away too much of the wrestling business, but to answer your question, I think it's important to have a good guy and a bad guy. But now more than ever, like I said, those lines are blurred more than they've ever been before, and they're very hard to see, which is why we can have a good guy versus a good guy and a bad guy versus a bad guy. And I tell you what, nowadays the crowd is trying to dictate, and they do a great job of telling you who they think the good guy is and who they think the bad guy is. So all wrestling is becoming much harder, but sorry to answer your question. I'm not trying to ramble on, but to answer your question, I think for me personally, I love a good bad guy and really, I want to cheer for this good guy, and they go into the ring and they do their thing. That's how I feel wrestling should be.
Awesome. Thanks a lot, Jay. 135 days.
All right. We're counting him. We're counting him down. All right, Jim Barcelo, Miami Herald. Go for it, Jim.
Jay, you mentioned the boom in pro wrestling, and we just had All In, which was tremendous, and you've got Ring of Honor, Death Before Dishonor coming up. What do you look at some of the factors as to why? Is it social media? Is it just more people around the world are getting into it? What do you think are some of the reasons why we're in this wrestling boom right now?
I think there's one clear reason, in my opinion anyway. It's because more wrestling fans who were only, I won't say blinded, but they only knew one product, with the help of social media and YouTube and the internet, those fans who only knew one product now know about five or six, and that'll pique their interest to learn about seven or eight. And then they'll see that there are some amazing wrestlers out there. Fortunately for me, most of them reside at Ring of Honor on our roster, but all over the world, in New Japan, CMLL, a couple people in Impact Wrestling, there's great wrestlers all over the world with the help of the internet. The people who only focus on one product now get to focus on four, five, six. And that's what really has helped our boom period. And another thing that helped is when, with the help of the internet, their eyes get open to a new product, and that product is delivering. Ring of Honor is having some of the greatest matches in wrestling when new eyes come to see. And it opens their mind, it opens their eyes, and they return viewers. So they go hand in hand. Not find a new product, but that product must deliver. And with so many great wrestlers out there, there's a lot of products out there delivering. So that's my take on why the boom period is happening.
Thank you, champ.
And of course, with that internet, that includes all of you guys sharing Ring of Honor and other wrestling companies and giving that information to the world. So we appreciate it, and I'm sure the fans appreciate it as well. Let's go across the ocean. Morgan Richards, go for it.
Hey, Jay, how's it going?
Morgan, I'm doing great. How are you?
Fantastic, thank you. So, of course, this Friday, you're going to be going one-on-one again with Will Ospreay for the Ring of Honor World Championship. The first match you had was quite critically acclaimed. A lot of people were talking about it. What can we expect from the two of you this time around to really bring the house down?
So we're going to, of course, I can't speak so much for Will Ospreay, but I can kind of guess where his mindset is going to be. We are going to deliver 10 times more than what you saw before. Our first encounter was on a TV taping. So, of course, our show is only an hour, so we're limited with time there. So our second encounter, me versus Will Ospreay the second time, not only is on a grander stage, it's live on pay-per-view. It's possibly the main event. To be honest, every match on our card has the ability to be the main event. That's how much we all deliver. But I hope Will Ospreay and I are the main event there. So the right away, there's more time. It's live on pay-per-view. You're expected to deliver. You have to follow everything that has come before you. How do you follow a match like the Young Bucks, Bullet Club versus Chaos? How do you follow a match like Chris Sabin, who's one of the greatest wrestlers in the world? For the television championship against Punisher Martinez. The women are stepping it up. Tenille versus Sumi for the Women of Honor championship. How do you follow all that? There's only one way. You've got to step your game up. And for the sheer fact that we have to follow all of those matches, that's instantly going to make our second encounter better than our first. But me stepping into the ring with possibly the greatest high flyer of my generation. It's going to be nothing short of amazing, in my opinion. We're going to hands down top our first encounter.
All right, we've only got a few journalists that haven't asked Jay, so let's keep him on for a little bit longer. Stu Myrick, Sports Guys Talking Wrestling, out in Austin. Go, Stu.
Champ, how are you doing, man?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good to hear your voice. Listen, you heard Mark meant to call you this at the beginning of the call, and you've heard this before. You're being referred to as the franchise of Ring of Honor Wrestling, just like Sting was the franchise of ECW. How much do you embrace that moniker?
Well, I was going to be unveiling my brand new full back Ring of Honor tattoo this weekend live on pay-per-view, but I don't think the fans are ready for that yet. I take great pride in wrestling for Ring of Honor, a company known around the world for its wrestling, not its flashy music. We don't have our wrestlers song on iTunes, which would be cool if we did. I'm sure it's a monetary thing. It would bring in some extra cash, but we really focus on our in-ring product, and I am the face of that company. I represent Ring of Honor in and out of the ring. It's the highest honor. It's that promotion that you've always wanted at that job. You are doing something so special and so unique that the owners, they want you to lead the charge. I mean, it's unreal to think about. And I love Ring of Honor. I've loved it for years. I've been in Ring of Honor for longer than many people realize. They treat me amazing. I've been in a few different locker rooms too. And I got to say, not just because I'm here, not just because I'm the world champion, this one by far, hands down, is my favorite. And you didn't ask this, but I'll go a little further and tell you what's my favorite part. Like I said, I've been a part of a few different locker rooms. And there's something to it when you have an idea, you want to voice your opinion, and that opinion, they listen to you, they sit down, and they hear you out. Because obviously, if you've got an idea and you think it's important, then it must be important to them. That's the way they feel. And it's not just me they do that with. They do that with our entire roster. Luckily, we don't have the largest roster in the world, so it's a little easier to do that. But to have your ideas listened to, and most of them, they run with them. There's really something to that, especially when they run with your idea. Of course, you want to prove that you have great ideas, so you're going to put your all into it. And that's something that Ring of Honor knows. That's something that they really do. I love it. So, I take great pride in being the franchise of the company.
Great stuff. Thanks, champ.
Thank you.
Evan, under the mat. Go ahead, Evan.
Yes, hello, Mr. Lethal. How you doing? Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Evan.
Yes, I wanted to ask you, I'm not sure if you're familiar, Jay. I know you've been in the business, not to make you feel old, of over 17 or 18 years, doing a great job for Ring of Honor.
It doesn't seem that long. It's crazy.
One match that a lot of fans on my show and Chris Featherstone show and all over have been talking about that they want to see is Jay Lethal, Ring of Honor champion, versus Okada from New Japan. Have you ever thought about this match? And if you could tell us the possibility of seeing this match, because a lot of Ring of Honor fans and New Japan fans and wrestler fans alike, this is one of the dream matches that a lot of people have been talking about.
I have thought about it for a very long time. And I would love to step into the ring with Okada. He's one of the best. I've been a fan of New Japan for many years, well before the joint venture, well before Ring of Honor teamed up with New Japan. I've been a fan and a friend of Okada's. And if I had to pick when I got to wrestle Okada, considering wrestling is currently on its boom period, considering we sold out a show already for next year, if I had my way, I think I would pick to wrestle Okada in Madison Square Garden. Now, the coolest part about that is, and this may sound funny, but I'm being as truthful as I can, most of the wrestlers from my generation thought that the only way to work in Madison Square Garden as a wrestler was to either A, fill out an application to be a worker there, or B, you must work for the WWE. And it's amazing, the proof is in the pudding, that Ring of Honor is on the rise and doing big things, because we just sold out Madison Square Garden for next year. It's unreal. I got goosebumps right now even just talking about it. So to answer your question, I'd love to wrestle Okada. And if I had my way, if I had my dream match, I'd wrestle Okada in Madison Square Garden.
Thank you, sir.
All right. I'll
thank you.
James Walsh. Go ahead, James. James Walsh, go ahead.
Hey, this is James Walsh from the Wrestling Epicenter. Mr. Lethal, it's great to speak to you again. How are you doing?
Great, James. I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing good. So here's my question for you this Friday night. Yes, sir?
Sorry, I was going to ask, are you riding a motorcycle right now? But go ahead.
That was not me. I've heard that a few times, and I'm thinking, wow, somebody must be peeling rubber
out. Probably there. Mark Krupp. He said he was in some kind of coffee shop. He was bragging about being on Santa Monica. Not to cut you off, but go ahead.
I'm not Harley.
Honest Harley, there you go. All right, so Friday night you have Will Ospreay, and the main event doesn't have what some wrestling shows have had. Nobody kidnapped the other guy's dog. Nobody stole the other guy's girlfriend. It's you guys going in there to have a match almost in a way that you would look forward to a great boxing fight, the way you would look forward to a great MMA fight. Is there more pressure as the champion going into a match where everybody's just expecting a great match and they're not expecting a blood feud? To see the main event?
Well, you mentioned it. Las Vegas is known for its bright lights and big fights. This definitely has that big fight feel. And like you said, you worded it perfect. No one stole each other's girlfriend in middle school and now they're back for revenge. There's no need for any funky storylines. And to answer your question, there's no added pressure. I'm not more nervous than I would normally be, and that's because Ring of Honor for years has always had the same, pretty much the same model, and that is you put two great wrestlers in the ring and they will deliver, and it's something that I've done for a very long time, especially in my first title run. It was all you put two wrestlers in the ring, two great wrestlers, and they will deliver. It's something that Ring of Honor was built upon. I remember sitting in the crowd and getting to be at ringside for some of the great classics, Bryan Danielson versus Nigel McGuinness. It wasn't storyline driven. People didn't buy a ticket because they knew, you know, that Nigel McGuinness one day stole Bryan Danielson's wallet or Daniel Bryan's wallet. The people bought a ticket because they knew that Bryan Danielson was one of the greatest wrestlers ever, and so is Nigel McGuinness, and together these two are going to make something special. And that's what Ring of Honor currently does. It was what they used to do, and it's what they do today. So I'm pretty used to it at this point. Not overly confident. I'm still a little nervous, but I'm pretty used to it. And so is our rest of our roster. It's not just me. Our whole roster is used to getting their name paired with another great wrestler and delivering in the ring. No storylines needed. It's one of my favorite parts about Ring of Honor. That way I don't have to do anything silly or have my storyline be based on something that that would probably embarrass me otherwise.
All right, we've got one more for Jay, and I discovered my mute button. Paul from Two Face Wrestling. Go ahead, Paul.
Hi, Jay. Good to talk to you. I had a question for
Paul,
you. You sort of
joining.
Alluded to it there. You sort of alluded to it there and at the beginning about how it takes two to make a great match. What are the challenges of going against Will Ospreay, who seemingly does something different every time he comes into the ring?
That in turn is the biggest challenge. As wrestlers going into big matches, we like to do a little bit of studying. We like to watch a bunch of, as many as we can anyway, matches of our opponents, try and see what they do, how will it mesh with what we do. And literally every single match with Will Ospreay is different. He's a chameleon. Today he may feel a little more amped and he does two rotations instead of just one. And he's the greatest high flyer ever. So it's hard to prepare for that. It's extremely hard to prepare, but I just know what I bring to the table will mesh well with what he brings to the table, and we're going to deliver. But it is hard to prepare for someone who can, on the drop of a hat, decide I'm going to flip six times instead of the traditional one time, and which changes the whole dynamic of whatever dive he's doing at that time. So it's hard to prepare, but I accept the challenge.
Well, we're all looking forward to it, and thank you for taking the time to talk to us.
Thank you for taking the time to ask me some questions, guys. Thank you, everybody. Thanks, guys.
And thank you, Jay, for spending a little bit of extra time that we scheduled, but I'm glad we got everyone in there and got a chance. So we will catch up to you and see you on Friday. So next up.
All right. Don't forget to add some gas to your motorcycle, Mark Kruskal.
Oh, shoot. No, we don't do that out here. It's just powered by the sun.
Okay. Take care, guys. See ya.